Barbara.
Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Dr. Sidman Azibo. I call you on the behalf of the Federal Social Security Administration Division. I call you about your Social Security check.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. I called to let you know that we're going to be reducing your check because the government is having cutbacks right now in the midst of everything that go on with the hurricane and the gas price, and we try to help the gas and the surplus of the nation. So we will cut your check back down to $250 for the next 12 months.
And oh, then, no, y'all won't?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
No, sir.
Ma'am, do not.
You better tell them folks or have them hurricane folks. They better get them a job like I worked for mine. They better get up and work for them.
Look, yes, ma'am. How could you say something so insensitive? That is not nice to say about the hurricane people because they are trying to get back on their feet. This is not just about hurricane rebuild. This is about the gas price and help the gas price.
Nobody has to have a car. Let them walk like I do.
Shut up and be a good American, please. And
man, I'm not studying about being no good American, no bad American, because I'm not even an American. I'm just a person living in America. There's no such thing as a good or a bad American.
And I bet I'd be a bad American if I come and slap you for hollering at me like that.
No, if you come and slap me, you'll be a dead American because I'm going to fuck you up.
No, ma'am, you will not touch me because I'm a trained...
If you touch me...
I'm a trained Mabuti warrior from the Buya tribe.
I don't give a damn what tribe from you from. I'm from the kick-ass tribe. Put your paws on me, I'm going to try my best to fuck you up.
I'm trained in shield and I'm trained in spear.
I don't give a damn about no spear. But I'll whoop your ass on GP. You waste your time. Don't waste my damn time talking about my check.
It is going down to $250. And then we will
come. If it does, I'm going to find your ass and whoop it till it go back up.
Barbara, what you do not understand is that the federal guidelines in regards to the Social Security state that the government, in time of financial economic crisis and big deficit, we can check.
You get through to doing all that talking, the government, the Bush had to come here and knock on the door and tell me some shit like that, because what you saying ain't meaning shit.
Ma'am, if you'd read your paperwork, if you knew how to read, you could read the paperwork. Yeah. You're not getting your check, motherfucker. You're not.
I ain't worried about that. Worried about that. You don't let it come. I'll whoop your ass to a rope like okra. Come around here and I'll skin your ass like I skinned that catfish last night.
I'm from G-Unit. I'm in the G-Unit.
I wouldn't give a damn if you was from the Hoochie Coochie tribe from Mississippi. I don't give a damn about nobody, too.
This is Dr. Sidiman Azibo, ma'am. You
will
respect me.
I don't give a damn about you saying you doctor.
I'm from the Nigeria, the American black.
I don't care where you from.
You respect me. I will come to the Alabama. I will slap you, baby.
And I'll slap your ass to sleep, too. You hobo your way up here in Alabama fucking with me, iPad back. You just hobo your way up here, iPad back.
I can't because of the gas price. Assistance. I can't.
Fuck the gas. You from a tribe, bitch. Run. You shouldn't want no gas. What you need gas from? You from a tribe. Put them big 15 feet on the cement and get to running.
Why don't you meet me downtown at the radio station?
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
If you're the first black president, don't go to the White House with a black cloud of smoke over your head. Get Obamaderm.
I tried to quit on my own, but I cling to cigarettes the same way some people cling to God or guns.
The Obamaderm patch delivers a controlled dose of nicotine and frees up your hands so you can do all those cool handshakes.
Yes, but what about withdrawal?
Obamaderm lets you draw down your addiction in a safe and timely manner.
I may miss the audacity of smoke, but thanks to Obamaderm, I no longer have cravings. Except the craving to appoint a bunch of old white people to my cabinet.
Put an end to your chain smoking, even if it's chain smoking we can believe in, with Obamaderm.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
All good things must end, so Backtime remembers things. A bit of fond adieu, a December night. In a deal that also spelled unemployment for Mr. Green Jeans and Bunny Rabbit, today in 1984, CBS canceled Captain Kangaroo.
Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
Wouldn't have Tito and Jermaine to kick around anymore, because also on this day in 1984, the Jacksons played their last show together in Los Angeles. First, a storybook wedding, then a grim fairy tale. Today in 1992, Britain's Prince Charles and Prince Diana announced their separation. It's back time for December 9th. This is your announcer speaking.
An attempted murderer gave it his best shot. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Would-be killer Ken Lemaire showed no sign of disappointment upon his arrest for the attempted murder of his boss late yesterday. In fact, Lemaire knew deep in his heart of hearts that he had given the failed clubbing everything he had. Police Sergeant Neil Coswell agrees.
When you see the victim, you can tell that he really wanted this guy dead. Give him an A for effort.
Municipal Judge Herbert McGinty was so impressed with Lemaire's dedication to violence that he dismissed all charges and presented him with the Hapswell County Good Try Award. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
Is my hedge too high, Your Grace?
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning.
That was not very enthusiastic, Sam. Okay.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, December 9th.
Much better.
Yeah.
Get your radio voice on.
I know. I need to sort of wake up still.
Excuse me, I haven't even gone to bed yet.
You haven't gone to bed? Oh, my God. I can't hear to hear that. I can't talk. Okay, I'm going home.
Let's go home.
Okay, I can't wait to hear that one.
Actually, at this point in time, I actually checked my phone this morning. I was like, let me see if Sam, like, canceled the show this morning. Let me just check my email really quickly.
You were hoping?
I wasn't necessarily hoping, but actually getting some shut-eye would have been a little nice.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And that was supposed to be finals night, right?
Yes.
Did you take your finals?
Well,
both of them?
I took both of them, but the stats was supposed to be a 2-day final.
Right.
But let's just say I don't even have to go to Wednesday's part.
Excuse me?
I don't have to go to Wednesday's test.
And what does that mean?
Well, what do you think it means?
It means you did real well on the first part?
Oh,
it means the other way.
It means I did so badly on
really?
The first part that it doesn't matter if I go to the second part, because even if I get every question right in the second part, I will still fail the exam.
Wow.
I am a statistical
failure. I was going to give you an applause anyway.
No!
Because I thought you were going to tell me that you didn't have to take the second part because you did so well.
I wish.
Oh, wow. So it was that hard, huh?
You know what? That's the fucked up thing. Like, I thought it was that easy. I was, like, zipping through the test. My friend Fozzie, who sits next to me, he actually was kicking me, like, at one point. And I was, like, so in the zone. I had no idea, like, what he was kicking me about. I was like, you know, what are you doing? I was like, leave me alone. I'm doing my work. He actually was kicking me to tell me that I'd circled two of the wrong answers.
Really?
Oh, man.
How did he know that?
Because he was looking at my paper.
He was looking at your paper.
But not because he knows I'm a miserable failure. Yeah. You know, and he's doing well in the class. He has a B. But even he failed the test.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
how long has that professor been teaching there? I'm wondering.
He has been in the United States since 1992 from the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yes, with pleasure.
What the fuck?
With pleasure.
Know?
So I'm writing like a formal complaint against him.
Really? You should.
Not because I failed. You know, I'm going to be like, listen, the subject matter was hard and, you know, I understand that, but this motherfucker should not be teaching. I've taken so many classes at this college and I've had A's and everything, you know what I mean? And I'm a good judge of like professors. God knows I've been to 4 colleges.
No, that does not sound like a good professor.
And even the one kid that I study with sometimes, he's so brilliant. Like yesterday we were trying to cram. I was like, I found him outside smoking a cigarette and I like grab him. I was like, eck! I was like, get inside the library, goddammit. I was like, we gotta cram.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have to cram. I was like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
But even he was like, yeah, I'll sign the petition if you write it. And he's getting an A in the class.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, everything I learned, he learns from his statistician roommate. who helps him with everything. He's like, I haven't learned fucking a goddamn thing from the professor.
Yeah. No, obviously. I mean, if everybody's fucking flunking the class, you know, he's doing something wrong.
You would
very
think
wrong.
Like the administration would notice or like say something about it. But, yeah. You know. Or
I know.
Take some kind of action or have someone sit in on the class and observe the way he teaches and see.
Yeah.
But no.
No, they're probably just as big assholes as he is.
Probably bigger.
Yeah.
Math people, I have a lot of math friends, so I have to be careful the way I say this, and some of them listen to the show. But most math people are arrogant motherfuckers.
Really?
Yes. I mean, they think because, like, they know all the logic of the world and understand, like, you know, mm-hmm. all the different intricacies of, like, the flowers and the patterns of nature and da-da-da-da-da and all of its practical applications, you know, that they're so much smarter than everyone else. We all have our talents. Some of us are talking, our talents are talking about sex. Mm-hmm. Some of us are, like, doing statistical problems.
Exactly. And we need all of this in the world, you know?
Exactly.
The sex and the math.
Like, if we had all, like, statisticians in the world, what a boring world it would be.
I would imagine, yes.
Oy.
And you can combine the math and the sex, you know? And you start counting how many times you have sex. And the probability of having sex again after you had a fight with your wife.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Actually, after I took my biology exam, I got an A on that, so...
Nice.
Which solidified my A in the class.
Yeah.
Actually, even if I had gotten, like, a D on that, I still could have gotten an A in the class.
Really?
But, you know, it just...
And that was while studying and giving head and stuff.
Yes.
And receiving head. Wow.
I completely embarrassed...
Must have been really easy.
Well, let's just say I have a good study partner.
Yeah, I
good
suppose.
Good study buddy. But so he's very shy, and in class we were waiting for the last girl to finish the exam, and, you know, we were being a little bit rude. We should have been quiet and let her finish in silence. But, you know, we're too excited to get drunk with the professor afterwards. So we're like, everyone hurry up, finish the test. And so I was like, professor, I've got the best study tactic ever. And he's like, what's that? And I was like, you know, let's just say I studied with Lane and I had my mouth full.
And you told him that?
I told the professor that.
Are you serious? My God.
He fucking loves me. It's great.
Yeah.
But the poor Lane, his ears and face turned bright red.
I'm sure. What the fuck?
Bright red in front of everyone in the class. And everyone was like, yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know how long this is going to last. I mean, you can embarrass him to death.
No, I won't.
And then he won't be around.
No, I won't. I think he's hearty.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you're,
I
don't know, you're a
me.
Firecracker and he sounds like pretty... quiet and laid back and stuff, you know?
He is. You just have to kind of get, like, I don't know, open him up a little bit.
I see.
And then, I don't know, I kind of like introverted
you
guys.
You like that.
You know, yeah. I work, my dynamic works well with them.
Yeah, I suppose. Opposites attract, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
They do in the beginning. Until you can't stand the other person anymore, you know?
Why?
Because they're so different from you.
I don't know.
I'm not wishing you that. I'm just telling you from experience. Remember, you know, I've been around.
You've been around since
been
the
around.
Stone Ages?
Exactly.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, man. Yeah, you gotta never let me live this down, my age. But
you know
that's
what?
Okay.
It's
that's
fine.
Okay.
Your age is absolutely fine.
No, it's I don't know about that. You know.
What's wrong with your age?
Yeah. Nothing, really. I mean, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. I don't want to get into that.
What'd you do for your wife's birthday?
We ended up going out late. It was 10 o'clock when all the shows were done. Yeah, because I had to wait for all the shows to be over.
Oh, these shows, okay.
Yeah, the shows here on the station.
Sorry, I have to put my sunglasses back on. My eyes hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, put them back on. So you didn't get any sleep, huh?
Not really.
Okay.
Like maybe 2 hours.
Well, so we went out at 10, and luckily we found a place that had that was still open for dinner. So we went and had a nice, quiet dinner, you know, not too long. But it was nice, at least. We got to go out. I mean, we haven't been doing this in who knows how long.
Good.
You know?
What kind of food did you have?
Japanese. She
Ooh,
had
sushi?
Some sushi. No, I don't eat sushi.
Of course you don't.
But I had
finicky motherfucker.
A ton of of tempura shrimp, you know.
Oh, that's good for the arteries.
Is it?
Hog them up there. Get it in there. Oh,
yeah, like sushi's good for you?
Sushi's amazing for you.
No, I can't imagine.
It's
I can't
so
imagine
amazing for
eating
you.
Fucking raw fish and it being good for
put
you.
Put it
but
in my mouth, yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I suppose, you know what, I bet you if I tried it, I would be okay with it. But I'm just like so anti, like, raw food and shit.
You know what I want to do? I want to like do like a whole like, I'm going to have my girlfriend Lena, who's an amazing chef, and she used to be a sushi chef, and she just cooks everything. I've told you about her. Actually, she called in one day. She was the one who put her vibrator to the phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to have her do like a blind taste testing for you, and you're just going to have to sit and open your mouth, and like you're going to have to eat whatever I put in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you think?
I think
I'm very finicky with food.
Yeah, but if you didn't know what you were eating, I don't think you would like prejudge.
I think I would. It's the consistency, the texture, I'm sure, is like really weird.
Well, have you ever had unagi eel?
No. I would never have a fucking eel, Susie.
Oh, my God. I love unagi eel.
Disgusting.
Nice and slimy and yummy. Wow.
You'd eat garbage if someone gave it to you, too,
no,
wouldn't you?
No. I have very refined taste in food for the most part.
Really?
Yes.
But you eat anything, pretty much.
No, I don't, actually.
No?
No. Never.
What wouldn't you eat?
I'm very, very, very healthy. I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. I love sushi.
I can't talk today, Susie. I'm going to fucking leave.
Indian food. You know? I love Indian
food.
Not
Indian food, but Mexican food. Do you like Mexican food?
We had Mexican food last night.
Really?
Yes. But Mexican food is actually my least favorite kind of food.
Yeah.
I eat it, but I never... Like, I have girlfriends and stuff, like, or guy friends, or even the people I work for, like, they always are just like, oh my God, I'm craving Mexican. Let's go get Mexican.
Yeah.
And it's like, I never, for about 4 years, I have not craved Mexican. I'll eat it if, like, the group is going to a place
right,
like that.
Right, but you don't crave it.
I don't crave it.
Right.
And, like, last night on the menu, I'm like, well, I don't really want any of this. Like, I would eat all of it,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, I'm like, I just want, like, you know, ground beef with, like, some rice and beans and some cheese, and I just want to, like, mix it all together.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Make like a Mexican goulash.
I know. I love all the melted cheese and shit, you know?
Again, good for your arteries.
I know. I told you, I'm the most unhealthy person I know as far as eating habits, you know? Thank goodness. I mean, it's a miracle I'm still a healthy person, you know? Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, the shit I put in my body,
it'll
you know?
Catch up with you sooner or later.
I'm sure it will, Susie. I'm sure it will.
I just have to be like, I don't know, when I started doing that MUFA diet thing from the author that we had in a while ago,
right.
I'm still actually doing that. Now you could eat whatever you want. You just have to eat like different portions.
Really?
And you have to add like a monounsaturated fatty acid to every meal. And so I've actually been doing that every day, which has been pretty cool.
Cool.
But I just have to like downsize because I usually like, I'll take like a huge cereal bowl in the morning. I'll pour like, you know, like 3 cups of cereal in there and I'm just like, nom, nom, nom. But now I'm down to like 1 cup of cereal and half a cup of applesauce.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah.
I know,
that's
but I leave here starving.
Like yeah.
And I already ate like as soon as I get here, like 2 hours later.
I leave
I'm
here
famished.
Starving too, but I didn't eat anything.
If I didn't eat before I walked in here, I would be...
I know. I mean, I get up very hungry, and then I have some coffee, and it keeps me going for a couple hours. And then, you know, I get out of here, and I'm just ravished. I got to have something, you know?
Yeah, but then when you're that hungry, that's when you... In particular, that's when you go and you eat crap.
Right.
You know, because
right.
you're so hungry. I mean, if I get
you
that
can't
hungry,
wait to prepare.
I'm, like, blind with yeah. hunger. And I'm just, like, I'm looking around, and I'm like, all right, what the fuck can I eat?
Yeah.
What can I shove in my mouth? Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I need to start watching what I eat, you know. By the way, we have a great show, a new show. It's been on for about 3 times already called Simon Says. It's Monday
Ooh,
at
fun.
9. Yeah, and it's Simon Gowen, and he talks about health and everything. And
Why does
all
that
kinds
name sound
of regimen.
Familiar?
Maybe you saw him on the website. Who knows?
Okay.
But maybe he's known. I mean, he's into wellness and well-being and all that stuff. And he's got some amazing stuff, you know. Just I feel I'm still at a point in my life where I can't really relate to it. But I know I should, you know, because it's just going to, like you said, it's going to catch up with
gonna
me.
It's
going to
bite
you, know?
You in the ass.
Yeah. But for now, thank goodness, you know, God gave me a strong body, strong mind, and I keep on going, you know.
Good boy, good boy.
I just figured I'd enjoy myself as long as I can, you know, because at a certain point, we all have to stop eating all this great shit, you know.
Eating all the great shit?
Yeah, it's really
great.
Great.
Shit?
It's really great. All the greasy,
Ew,
melted
that's not
cheese.
Great. There's nothing great about it.
It tastes the best. Are
no,
you kidding
no.
me?
I mean, yeah. when I was little, I was so finicky. Like, this is the way my mother kind of raised me, though. Like, being, you know, very health conscious, but also to the point where it was, like, not really, it was too much.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a right age to be taught the right eating habits, but she took it to, like, a different extreme of, like, you know, just shrivel away and be, like, super anorexic.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like people would like put salad dressing on my salad. Mm-hmm. I could actually like you know when you can like squirt water through your teeth and you're like
yeah, yeah.
I would be so grossed out if there was any salad dressing like on my salads. I would just like wring it through my teeth and I'm just like oh, I'm like, this is disgusting, and I wouldn't eat it.
Really?
Yeah, from like salad dressings and cheese. And
wow, so you were raised that way.
I was raised that way. Yeah. So like any kind of thing with like grease, like when I get pizza, I like blot off the top and the bottom.
Oh, man, that's
I don't
my
eat the
favorite
crust.
Part.
Actually, my favorite kind of pizza is a salad pizza that they make at Abbott's, and I just eat the salad off the top, and then there's no point in actually having ordered a pizza. But...
Salad pizza?
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Yes, it's amazing with the avocado, which is my mufa.
Yeah, I love avocado. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, you see, so you were raised health conscious about what you eat, and I was raised like with the flavor, the taste is the best part of the food, you know? So anything that tastes good, I'll eat, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when I went to boarding school, that's, and you know, my parents, you know, like, all right, we raised you and you're going off on your own, do what you want.
Right.
But I still had like the tools of like eating healthy. But that's when I really saw the way other people were eating. Mm-hmm. When you're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner with like, you know, the other like 300 girls in the school.
Right.
And they offer healthy choices, but they also offer, you know, ethnic choices and things like that. But people eat like shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do these parents like raise these kids?
I know.
Like on French fries? Like, really? That's all you're going to have for dinner?
That's all the kids ever want. I mean, it was a struggle.
You don't give them a choice.
No, I know. I know. But sometimes it's just easier, you know?
It's easier.
The kids want McDonald's, and they want this, and they want that, you know?
The kids I nanny for have never been to McDonald's.
Really?
Never.
Yeah, see, that's good. That's good.
They don't even know what that big yellow arch means.
Yeah, well, during the 90s, we weren't as health conscious, I suppose.
Good point.
But, I mean, it's still not an excuse. But, I mean, my son, he just has to have fast food all the time.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sam, fast food. And, actually, I brought you up at our little after bio dinner class last night.
Why?
I was like, God damn, Sam. No, I was like, God damn it, Sam. I was like, I want everyone's opinion. Keep in mind, this is from the drunk 11 students and biology professor.
Yeah, and you do the survey?
I did a survey. I was like, can anyone tell me like what kind of a, you know, parent lets their 15-year-old son watch girls get off on a civvy and like for quality time during Howard Stern? I was like, really? Even Alan agreed with me yesterday. I walked out and Alan was like, I agree with you, Sears.
Who's Alan?
Cordoza?
Oh, yes, okay.
You know how I'm always like slightly intimidated when he comes in? I'm always like, he's judging me.
Yeah.
He's judging me because of all the drugs I've done.
Yeah. Listen, this is our quality time. We enjoy it. And that's what we're going to continue to do. Okay?
Oh, my God. Maybe I'll get you guys a gift certificate to go fishing for Christmas.
We definitely should do that, too. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't. But, you know, we've had our great times. I mean, really, when they were growing up, I would take them to the best places. The aquarium in Long Beach. And, you know, we'd go to... Yeah, I mean, we'd go hiking. You know, we'd take them to the pier. They love to go to the pier and stuff. Venice, you know, the marina. I mean, we've been all over, you know. And
well,
it's just
it
now,
again, just for
the,
fun.
The problem is
get out and
not,
take a walk with some fresh ocean
but
air.
But he doesn't want to do it. I mean, he just gets bored with this shit. These kids, they have to be stimulated nonstop now to keep their attention, you know? With the video games and the internet, everything moves so fast that if it doesn't, then they lose interest.
Life isn't moving fast at the pier and on the boardwalk and at the...
No.
It absolutely isn't.
No, it's more laid back. You go there, you have fun with the kids. You're not in a hurry, no computers. You eat cotton candy and ice cream.
No,
and,
you don't.
And
popcorn. Oh, here we go again, Sam.
Oh, you missed out on childhood, Susie. If you didn't get to eat any of this shit, come on.
Oh, man.
You missed out on something. You remind me of this kid that...
Do I look like I have been deprived of anything, Sam?
No, but, you know, I mean...
Tell me honestly, like seriously. What have I not gotten in my life?
Well, I don't know. When you were younger, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you wanted sweets and they didn't give them to you.
I don't really think I ever wanted them. I've never had a sweet tooth. Like, my sister got my grandmother's side of the things, like, where she has to have, like, cake and shit all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, cookies and ice cream after every meal. And I'm like, I just don't want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'd rather drink my calories.
Yeah.
Like, my pitcher of strawberry margaritas last night, that was my dessert.
So you're not into sugar that much?
Not really, no.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, I gotta have sugar with everything. Everything.
Sam!
Sugar and salt, you know, and everything.
Salt, fat, and sugar.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, I'm pretty unhealthy as far as my eating habits, but thank God, you know, I mean, I've been like a bull.
Thank God you've got a healthy sexual appetite and you can work it off.
Yes, there you go. That's never going to die, I can tell you that, you know. You know, sometimes I look at myself with my dick in my hands, and I'm going, you're a fucking 48-year-old man, and you're holding a fucking hard dick in your hands, and you look ridiculous.
Oh, why do you look ridiculous?
I don't know. It just seems like something that younger people do.
Oh, and it's something younger people do, all right. Oh, my.
So, yeah, so it's kind of weird, you know?
No, it's not.
It is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, okay, so I can see you dying to tell me more about last night. So go ahead. By the way, okay, before you do, because I know it's a long story. I just
Not really.
I just want to tease the person we're going to talk to.
Are they from this country?
From this country? Why?
I don't know, because we haven't had very good luck with our call-in authors.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we're calling him, actually.
Oh, okay, good.
And this is the author. They sent me a DVD, and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I saw the little preview they had.
You're not supposed to admit that.
On YouTube. Well, you know.
Like you always say, like I always
that's
pretend.
That's why if you send me a book, it's easier. You know, with
well,
the DVD, I have to
But you always even
it.
Say with the book, you're always like, yeah, I haven't finished it yet. Yeah. And that's like a nice way of being like, I haven't read it, and I'm never going to.
Well, you can't possibly read every book they send us, you know. So I read a little bit of it and get the gist of it, and then we talk to them about it.
And I
but
get
at
the
any
cheat
rate,
sheet.
This guy
lot.
Has written, and the movie is called "The Wild Man of Kentucky: The Mystery of Panther Rock." Okay.
Wait, say that again.
Okay, The Wild Man of Kentucky.
Okay.
The Mystery of Panther Rock.
What is that about?
Okay, this is about people set out to go and look for Bigfoot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Have you heard of Bigfoot?
Yes, I have.
Okay. But my question is this. People have been seeing Bigfoot for decades. Doesn't he age? You know? I mean, doesn't he eventually die? So I want to ask him about it, whether there's more than one Bigfoot or what.
Well, Bigfoot would have to, like, spawn at some point.
Yeah. Not if there's not a female Bigfoot around.
Well, haven't you ever seen, like, crossbreeding in dogs?
Yeah.
You know, you could breed, like, a St. Bernard with a Chihuahua.
Yeah, but those are dogs still. You know, they're canines.
There's got to be, like, a baby Bigfoot, like a baby mama Bigfoot.
Maybe there is.
Maybe mama Bigfoot.
Yeah, but at any rate, I mean, apparently these people have taken what they've seen seriously. So I'm really...
Are there pictures?
Really curious. No, there's no picture. As you can imagine, there's never pictures of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw in the preview, they showed like with night vision, and they saw...
Something the leaves would rustle.
Yeah, or, well, they showed a character walking on the highway, but still, all you saw was like this green shape walking, you know? So, I don't know, but we're going to find out about that. I just thought it was fascinating, you know, I don't believe any of it, but what the heck, you know? It sounds interesting, you know?
Goodness.
So, yeah, so that was cool. And I'm not sure if he's calling or we're calling, but we'll see in a few minutes what's going on.
Fabulous.
So, and then for tomorrow, we had an author scheduled. Now, you're going to get a kick out of this one. He claims that he went to hell and came back.
You've told me about this guy before.
Yeah? Okay, so it's called 23 Minutes in Hell. And supposedly he's been there and he's seen everything that supposedly the scriptures describe.
You know what? There's this one drug called DMT.
Yeah. You think he's taken it?
I think he's taken it one too many times. Because you only, like, I don't know, Lane and I were talking about it yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, I don't remember. And I've never taken it. But don't get me wrong. It's not that I wouldn't take
it.
Yeah, I haven't been presented with the opportunity to take it.
I see, okay.
But apparently you only, like, I don't know, you've got this, like, I don't know, whatever you call it, like some kind of hormone in your brain, mm-hmm. and it's only released when you are born, when you dream, and when you die, or when you take DMT.
Really?
So, I don't know. I feel like maybe this guy has taken some kind of funky drugs.
Maybe he has, and I was dying to talk to him, but he's going on vacation, apparently. So maybe in January we'll get a chance to talk to him.
Oh, I thought you said he was calling, or we have him tomorrow.
Well, he was scheduled for tomorrow, and then they sent me cancellation
today.
Oh, no. Yeah. But I got, they sent two books, you know, one's simply called Hell, and... You know, I don't know, but
will
I
you bring
I mean,
them so I can read
again,
them?
Yeah, you know,
since I have free
again,
time now.
You know, again,
people since I'm a
making
statistical
claims,
failure.
People making claims, you know, and I really want to, you know, like normally I wouldn't be interested in none of that. I would just filter it all out. But I'm thinking for a radio show, this is awesome stuff. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll bring you the Hell books. You know, and
excellent.
We
excellent.
Can see what he's seen there and stuff. But it's amazing they connect it with the scriptures and everything. You know.
Oh God, this makes me feel so awful.
Well, that's where hell was invented, I guess, in religion.
Well, I want to tell you something really briefly about religion. So yesterday, well, actually, like probably last week, you know, I was studying in the library, actually cramming with this guy Eric, and this guy in a wheelchair who's like, you know. Not, I don't think he's quite a paraplegic. I don't know, but he can kind of move like one hand,
uh-huh.
or I don't know, whatever that makes him. But he's kind of, you know, retarded. Right. And so he wheels up to me and he's like, excuse me. He's like, do you know where the elevator is? And I'm like, elevator's right there. Like, turn around. And he's like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, no worries. So yesterday, he finds me on the lower level of the library and he comes up and he's like, he scared the shit out of me because I was furiously like doing math problems, like, you know, watching the clock tick away, waiting for my friend Eric to like call me. And I'm like watching my phone furiously, like scribbling the math problems. And he's like, excuse me. I jump like 10 feet. I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, hi. He's like, can you help me get a book off the shelf? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, come on, let's go. Come on. Wheel a little bit faster, buddy.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely tolerant of the disabled. I usually am, but not when I'm doing like my math shit.
Yeah.
So like he brings me over to like this really tall shelf and he's like, not this Bible. There was an entire bookshelf of Bibles.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm telling you, there were like hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, not this one. He had me get down like 40 different Bibles.
Are you serious?
And meanwhile, it took probably like 15 minutes out of like my study time. And I'm like, I could have done like 3 problems in this time and like, you know, learned them. But I'm still trying to be nice and not be rude. But it's like, isn't that what the librarian's for?
Well, that was nice of you, though.
But so that was nice of me. So I gave him the right book.
But that's the thing. I don't think he was looking for a librarian. He was looking for you.
Well, that's so after I finally got him the right book, I was like, all right. I was like, you know, happy reading or happy studying. And I go and I sit down at my table again. I start furiously doing my math. He wheels himself back over.
Yeah. Now do you have any doubt that he's after you?
Oh, and I was like, what's up? And he's like, is anyone sitting here? And like the whole table was empty. And I was like, no, it's fine. You could sit there. And so literally as soon as he wheeled himself over and situated, I had to move the chair for him too so he could sit next to me.
Oh, wow.
And so right after he sat down, I get a text from Eric that's like, I'm upstairs, come meet me. So I looked like a total asshole to this guy. As soon as he sits down, wheels himself into the position next to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm instantly like, gotta go. And I grab my books and I like run upstairs.
Yeah.
So I felt like such a jerk.
Why? You're used to breaking hearts. You do the same thing, but over a longer period of time with your boyfriends.
hey now.
It's true. You know that.
I do not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
But so, I mean, I felt like he thought I was like being insensitive or, you know what I mean? Or that I was like, you know, running away because like he was disabled and like, I don't know, AFU.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. I don't know. I'm a little sensitive about these things.
No, I mean, that's nice of you. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're being considerate, you know, and that's nice, you know. But yeah, I mean, you can't sit there and please everybody, you know. You gotta move on, so don't feel too guilty
about
it. Okay,
you're right.
Yeah, okay. All right, should we try and call him? Let's try and call him. I think we're supposed to call him. And so, like I said, we're dealing with Bigfoot here, and you know, I mean, what?
Oh, that just sounded funny.
Yeah.
You're just like, I mean, we're dealing with Bigfoot here.
Yeah, I mean, this is serious, you know?
Very serious.
But, I mean, you know, people devote their lives to this stuff. So, I mean, obviously something happened, you know? So we're going to see what we can do with Mr. Philip Spencer. I don't know where he lives, but we're going to find... Yes, good morning, Mr. Spencer.
Yes,
hi, good morning. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Well, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we weren't sure if we were supposed to call you or you call us, so we just thought, okay, we'll try you. So,
okay.
Yeah, so how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. It's a very nice morning here in Virginia.
Oh, I was going to say, I heard the y'all.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful. And... have you lived in Virginia all your life, pretty much?
No, I lived in Kentucky for over 40 years, and that's where the story of the Wild Man of Kentucky, the Mystery of Panther Rock, came from.
Right, right. So now, how did this come about? I mean, at what point, what triggered you to pursue this in the first place?
When I was very young, when you grow up in rural Kentucky, you spend a great deal of time in the outdoors. That's just how life is. And I was very young, walking back through the fields on our property one day, and there was a large field we had. It had been plowed and smoothed. And as I got to the middle of this field, I saw that the ground had been disturbed. And I walked up and looked, and there was a very large footprint.
Mm-hmm.
It was a right foot. It only had 3 toes.
Hmm.
And there was only one print in this entire field.
Just one print? Not a pair.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It was not a pair of footprints. It was just one?
And nothing leading
just
up
one.
To it and nothing leading away.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing anywhere in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood and looked at it and I thought, how bizarre. This it was a deep print, was a fresh print, and I backed away and, of course, looked around and saw nothing. And I think that this was the catalyst for my lifelong interest in these subjects and research and investigation of them.
I see. So this didn't interest you at all before that? You went into this...
Not really. I was very young at this time, probably, I would say, 10 years old.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
And when I saw that, and later, as my investigations carried on through life, I found that others had seen this same track. It's a three-toed, large track, and there has been association with this type of track and the creature known as Bigfoot.
Right.
What's the measurement of this foot?
This three-toed, I would say it was about 13 inches, somewhere variance there. I didn't have anything with me to truly measure it,
right,
because I certainly wasn't expecting to find that.
Yeah.
And the others were very similar. There's been reports in, let's see, Arkansas as well as Pennsylvania of this three-toed track. Now, most of your tracks related to Bigfoot are a five-toed track.
Right.
But these strange three-toed tracks are often seen.
Right. Now, how do you explain this? I mean, so at that point, I guess you decided, well, this has got to be some kind of a creature?
Yes, that was my conclusion. But, honestly...
But you were still young, right?
Well, at that time, when you're 10. Young in Kentucky...
But were you a hunter as well?
Yes. That's what I was just getting ready to say.
I was like, you probably track things, and you can like test and
exactly
see how fresh a footprint is.
When you're even at that age in rural Kentucky in the small town of Alton,
you're
where
trained.
We lived, you fished, you hunted, but that was for food.
Right.
That was a necessity. So I knew the outdoors well, even at that young age.
Right. So
what did you decide to do about it at this point?
Yeah.
Did you look for other ones, like go off and wander around, like on a Bigfoot hunt?
Well, not then, but I never. It really made an impact on me, and I will say this: I was aware of nature in a different way after that. Now, as time moved on and I became older, I started aggressively looking, researching, going out, talking to people that had all kinds of events. And when we get to the story of the Fraser Land, this cave called Panther Rock, which I've written about and done the DVD on, it has so many bizarre things happening that it's really hard to wrap your mind around. We have a picture of a track that's over 18 inches long. We have another mysterious animal track that no one can identify. We have a sound which is now known as the Fraser Howl, which everyone can go to my website, philipspencer.net, and actually listen to. It's being analyzed at this time to try to figure out. It's just haunting and chilling to hear this.
I imagine you hearing it at night when you're like a little boy.
How did you find this cave, the Panther Rock?
Well, as I say, I lived in central Kentucky in Anderson County, the town of Lawrenceburg, for many years. In this cave, to a lot of people, it was known, but surprisingly, there's people that live close to it do not even know it's there.
Oh.
And it has many mysteries associated with it. Strange stories going back many, many years. But all these events, these horrible animal attacks, these sounds, lights, I mean, it just goes on, and it seems to all be centered around the cave known as Panther Rock.
Right. And is that nearby where you saw the footprints?
No, the place where I saw the three-toed track when I was young was probably, I would say, 5 miles away.
I see.
From there. But then
so
again,
how
it was in Anderson County.
How do you propose that he leaves only one footprint? Does he have, like, that big of a stride that, like, you know?
Well, I'll tell you. The stride issue would be impossible. This was not an enormous field, but it was not a small field. And you're probably talking at least 100 yards square if you were talking about stride.
Okay.
And I've given a lot of thought to this, and I cannot conclude either this, something touched down with only one foot and made this track. Whatever did this had weight because this was deep.
Right.
Or something appeared and was with one foot. There, within our concepts and logical thinking, that those are the only two options I could ever think of.
Right. Except that it still sounds
far-fetched.
Yes. I mean, you know, exactly. It's not something that's normal, you know, physics.
Oh, exactly. I absolutely agree.
Right.
It was just like when you first see something like that and then your mind rationalizes and your logical thought kicks in, it doesn't make sense. There's no, within the realm of thinking, the way we would perceive something like this, it doesn't register. It does not compute.
Right.
But there it was. And like I say, others have found the same track,
right,
a single track. So it's just
Have people taken pictures of it?
But you said they saw it in different places too, right?
Right, Pennsylvania. There's been one found in Pennsylvania.
So there's more than one Bigfoot. That's what you claim, right?
Well, honestly, I'm not sure if this is Bigfoot.
Right.
Now, there's talk and association of someone finding a three-toed track. And then there was talk of association with Bigfoot, but I'm not one maybe to be in that camp.
Right.
As far as the number of these creatures, I would say there's a population of thousands.
Really?
From
coast to coast.
So these are... So
you mean we have some in Southern California?
I've seen a couple on the Lakers.
Yeah.
Well,
funny.
If you look at the reports, there are thousands upon thousands of reports from very credible people, police officers, military personnel. These are trained observers.
Right.
And these reports are everywhere, more likely tens of thousands. So to estimate the population, I think it was safe to say thousands. And if you really took that on up into Canada, maybe even more so.
Right. So now what, I mean, how do you view this? I mean, do you look at this as like a certain creature or an animal? I mean, is it humanoid at all?
I believe it's a flesh and blood creature.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sighting myself, and what I saw, I feel, was a flesh and blood creature. What I saw was a very large, upright, bipedal creature, probably 8 feet tall, at least 600 pounds. I watched it walk through a river valley.
How far were you? How far were you from it?
I was probably 150 yards with a spotlight at night. I didn't have the best view, but there was absolutely no question what I was watching.
Really?
Walk down through this valley. And it looked back twice, and then it stepped over a small fence like it wasn't even there and vanished into the woods.
Wow.
And what did it look like? Was it hairy, like covered in hair all over?
It looked like exactly what you would hear people describe it as. I didn't have the best light. It was a good light, and I could see it fairly good, enough to tell exactly what I was looking at. But it looked as though its body was covered with hair. It was very tall, at least 8 feet. It did not run.
It sounds like one of my ex-boyfriends.
But it could have been.
Do they have them in upstate New York?
Yeah. It was heading north, I think, so it could have been him.
Go on.
And it didn't run. It didn't walk slow. It was just a steady gait as it walked down through there. And it looked back twice, but there's something else. In this huge field that along this river, there were deer, and a lot of them. And one thing I noticed, the deer did not panic. They did not freak out and go running out of sight, but they kind of just shuffled around and moved a little bit to get away from it, but they did not panic. And I thought that was very unusual.
Oh, sorry, I lowered my mic here. Now, I mean, who came up with the idea that we should call this Bigfoot or associate it with other sightings?
Well, that was many, many years ago. I believe it might have been. I know the name Sasquatch was termed in what they believe 1925 or 30, and that's from a Native American language. Mm-hmm. And I believe Bigfoot was about, I'm trying to think of the exact date, but it was due to a newspaper report.
Right.
These footprints, and the term Bigfoot was used, and then it was attached to the creature. Sasquatch is also used as a term. There are so many names. Taki is also Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book and the DVD, we go into a historical account of the creature. I think many people are going to find that very interesting.
Mm.
And we go back into the names and the long time ago when it was spoken about and so forth. And it's just very intriguing. And, you know, honestly, there is nothing to prove this creature exists except all these reports, tracks, and these tracks. There is no evidence other than that.
Now,
however,
let me ask you this, though. I mean, you know, today, in this day and age, everybody has video cameras and stuff. How come none of them have captured him? Even, you know, I don't know, something semi-recognizable. So we can say, yeah, you know what? This is really something unusual that we don't see every day.
Oh, that question is asked and discussed daily.
Right.
And I've been asked it so many times.
Right.
And the question is very valid.
Right.
Why is this creature so elusive? And to me, that's the mystery. I'm way past, is it real? I know what I saw.
Right.
I spent a lot of my life in the outdoors, and I know what I saw. But why does this creature remain so elusive? Why can't someone, like you say, get a picture? I mean, the discussions go into the world of dimensional concepts.
Right.
Portals. And so forth. It's like I say, it's actually just a beautiful mystery,
right,
trying to understand this. And that's what our investigative team really wants to focus on, is understanding what these strange mysteries are.
Right.
And we don't have that answer.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone has that answer.
Right. So in other words, it's agreed that there are strange things happening there, but you're not making claims as to anything. It's more or less theories, and you know something is going on there. So you're not really trying to tell us, okay, well, there's a Bigfoot and all that. You're just saying, this is what I saw, this is what I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
You know, what we have in this story is just stunning information. We have some of the most compelling eyewitness testimony that anyone will ever hear. We have accounts of some of the most horrific, bizarre animal attacks that anyone could ever hear.
Really?
And we have these recordings.
Are they eating them?
Well, the one account, the man referred to as the ex-farmer, he's a man in this area that wanted to remain anonymous with valid reason. A lot of these events are occurring on his property. Him and his family will not go outside anymore unless they are armed. They have stopped having campouts with their children's friends.
Mm.
And it's really a sad situation for this family. They don't want any of this to happen.
Well, not leaving your house unless you're armed in Kentucky sounds pretty normal.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It pretty much is. But in this case, it's an exception. I tell you, once I tell you just one of the things that's happened to these people.
Right.
He had three dogs, what is known as old, rough, tough farm dogs. And 60, 70-pound animals. They lived outside. This big, huge land was their home. One night, the ex-farmer heard something happening outside. He rushed outside with a small flashlight, and at the end, he lives in a cabin in a remote area. And just at the end of his light, he could see and hear his three dogs in a vicious fight. And he could just barely see this creature. He said it was over 100 pounds. And he could see it swiping at his dogs and hear his dogs screaming.
Over 100 pounds isn't very big.
No.
Well,
it could have been Susie.
Yeah. Oh. Susie plus 40 pounds. No.
Yeah. Well, considering actually a 100-pound animal in this area is rather large. Mm. You won't, you know.
But it wouldn't leave a 13-inch footprint.
No.
Oh, no. This is something totally different.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me tell you
Sorry.
What happened.
Yeah. Yeah, this is about animal mutilations and stuff.
Oh, okay.
The ex-farmer watched as this animal would swipe and he'd hear his dog scream. He had worked 16 hours. He was exhausted. He was afraid to shoot because he didn't want to shoot his dogs. He figured these dogs have taken care of themselves a long time. They'll do it now. He went in the house. Just as he was about to lay down, he realized something. Whatever this was that these dogs were fighting never made a sound. This was a vicious life or death fight. This creature never made a sound. Mm. The next morning, he found two of the Dobermans laying in the yard with their faces ripped open, huge gashes. The third dog was never seen again.
Wow.
Mm. He is absolutely convinced that whatever that was killed that dog and took it.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, this is all hearsay and stuff, but it's definitely fascinating to the point where you actually put together a team, right? And you guys investigated this and made the film and everything. So, that is cool. You know, if nothing else, I think it raises a lot of interesting questions.
It makes me
want
to pick my feet up off the floor. I'm a little girl sometimes, and I'm afraid, like, if my toes hang off the bed, I'm like, now I'm going to dream of Bigfoot coming to get me. Thanks a lot.
After, you know, when you get a chance to see this DVD or read the book, you know, you might actually do that even more. I mean, I was there. We did the investigations. We had strange events happen to us. But to this day, I am still getting information out of this area about strange, bizarre occurrences. And it's really hard. You know, if you have an area where you have one strange event occurring, mm-hmm. well, you know, that's something in itself. But when you get an area where all this is occurring, it's very hard to wrap your mind around why, what is going on here?
Right.
And these are credible witnesses.
But couldn't the ex-farmer, couldn't it have been just like, you know, a coyote or a wolf? You know, they can get to be pretty big, like, you know, up like about 100 pounds.
Yeah, but
I don't know if they can get that big.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm not arguing with Philip because he obviously knows animals. He's been in the outdoors. We know nothing in L.A. about wild
Speak
animals.
Speak for yourself.
Here.
I'm not from L.A.
No, I'll also tell you something else. Is in a fight like that, and like I say, I've spent many years in the outdoors, and I know many, many others that have. When an animal is in a fight such as
it
that,
it makes noise.
It's going to make a tremendous amount of noise because this was a true life and death event.
Right.
And and just a mile from there, just a mile from where this occurred, a man had a 700-pound cow. I went and interviewed these people. Mm-hmm. There are a couple that have been farmed their entire lives. One day, one morning, the lady was in the kitchen. All of a sudden, she heard this crash outside. She looked, and one of their cows had burst through and tore down a gate. And she ran out. Her husband came running. It was a 700-pound cow. Its right eye had been ripped out.
Ew.
Its ears were torn off down to the bone.
Yummy.
And these huge gashes were in this animal's back. And I spoke with both of them, and the man took me to the side. And he said, "Philip, I want to tell you something." He said, I've lived here a long time. He said, "I know what's on my property, and I know what comes on my property." He said, "I don't know what did this. I've never seen anything like it in my life."
Wow.
That's amazing. Well, Mr. Philip Spencer, a fascinating story, I think, you know, and I'm definitely going to find time to watch the DVD. I just saw some of the clips on your website, which is philipspencer.net. That's Philip with one L. And so I'm sure people can find out more on your site. So you have a book and a DVD.
Correct, and you know they're available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all major outlets. And, yes, I hope people will have time. There's a lot of information on my website. Uh-huh. You can listen to the sounds. You can even go to my blog off of my website and look at the what's known as the Fraser Mud Track.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody can figure this out because experts can't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I'm sure you're convinced. I mean, you're convincing me. So, and if you spend so much time and effort on this, obviously you believe that there's something going on. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Very fascinating.
And scary.
Yes, and if you find, if you ever get a good photo of him, you know what, though? I'm thinking even photos these days, you can't even rely on them.
Yeah. Like that.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's going
to
take one of these creatures laid up
down.
In something dead for everybody to believe.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's what it'll take.
Gather around the bar, the body.
Oh.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, Philip, thank you so much for coming on, and all the best to you.
All right, thank you all so much. It's been wonderful, and you all take care.
Bye, Philip.
Okay,
thank you.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Now, well, that's a little different from the authors from New York, you know.
Those absolutely.
Suburbanites.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty cool.
He's a good story. Like, I don't know.
He's
a very, like,
a good storyteller.
A good voice for that, too.
He's yeah.
Just kind of, you just kind of, like, I don't know, you feel like you're deep in the woods, and you kind of close your eyes, and all of a sudden, like, you see the cow, and like with its ears like ripped open, and like uh-huh. You see the dogs and their faces, and I don't know. You see like some blind, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ah,
you don't know?
No, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I don't know. I'm just saying I got a lot of good visuals from Mr. Philip.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, and I love his accent too. Which reminds me, do you remember yesterday when we left? There were other than Alan, there were two guys here. One is Logan, his friend, and then there was another man named Bo. You know,
okay.
An older man. So then they stayed on TJ's show, and I'm finding out that man is actually Bo Hopkins. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the name, and it didn't ring a bell right away for me.
A baseball player?
No, he's a hugely famous actor, and
oh, okay.
He's been in many, many movies. American Graffiti, he was on...
I need to see that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I just realized I need to see that, too, because I think the one and only time I ever saw it was when it came out in
you
the 70s.
On acid.
It came out in the 70s or something. And no, I wasn't on acid then, no. I never really did acid, only once or something. But no, it's an amazing, amazing movie. I mean, it happens like in the valley here, I think.
Okay, cool.
It takes place here. And so anyway, he was in that. He was in Dynasty with Linda Evans, although I can see you giving me
no,
blank
no, no.
look.
I remember you taught me all about Dynasty.
Yeah, and Dynasty was like amazing, just like you like the
Young and the Restless,
right? But this was a nighttime soap opera, but I was so into it, I can't even tell you, you know? Because it was about these rich people.
Maybe I'll see if I could, maybe it sounds like a 90210 of like your era.
Yeah, something like that. Your era. The Stone Age.
From you people. Sorry, Sammy.
Thank you so much. So at any rate, so that turned out to be him, and he's changed so much. You know, I guess, you know, we age and stuff, and we look
evolve.
Different. Yes.
We evolve.
But his southern drawl
age,
is still the same. He sounds the same, and it's really cool. So I, you know, and we were talking about southern accent the other day.
I know.
But some people, it just, it suits them so well, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, we're going to go take a break. And
yes, we are.
We'll be right back.
Yes.
Introducing GM's new dollar menu with loads of great cars to choose from, all for under a buck.
Welcome to GM. May I help you?
Yeah, I'd like to order off your dollar menu. I'll take a Chevy Malibu and a Buick LaCrosse.
Would you like to supersize and add a Cadillac Escalade for only 99 cents?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Your total is $297.
Wow, three American-made cars for under $3? Da-da-da-da-da. I love GM.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Slowly but surely, Our guys did not take a dump in your car. If you want to, bring that car back and we'll take a look at it.
You want to take a look at it? My car is fine. It's that big ass turd in the back seat.
Okay, what would you like me to do?
Okay, how about I go to your house and pitch a loaf on your couch?
Ma'am,
how about that?
Ma'am, huh? What would you like me to do to fix the situation?
I want somebody to come over here, get this turd out my back seat.
That's
clean
not gonna
my
happen.
Car. What do you mean it's not gonna happen?
You can bring the car here and we can take a look at it.
I am. I'm going to bring it back there. You know what I'm going to do?
Huh.
I'm going to take a dump in every last car you got there. I'm going to pee on your counter. I'm going to do it all to
okay,
show
ma'am.
You how it feels.
Okay,
and you
ma'am.
Know what? You sound like a big burly man. It probably came out your ass.
Oh, yeah.
How much you weigh?
I don't make it a habit of going out and taking a dump in the car.
How much do you weigh?
About 400 pounds.
That's your turd. That
That's
is your
my turd,
turd,
huh?
Yes.
That came up from a 400-pound man, huh?
This is a 400-pound man, either that or a gorilla.
Okay.
I'm driving this car right to my lawyer's office, and I'm going to let the whole world see. You're going to be on the news this evening, buddy. I'm going to get 7 on my side. Watch. You're going to be on the news.
Can you describe the piece of shit? I mean, what does it look like?
You know what it is. It came out your ass. What the hell you, what kind of, asking me what color? I tell you what, it smells ungodly. That's what it smells like. Smells like you sold your ass to the devil. That came from the pits of hell.
Well, how big is it? How long is it?
It's about as long as my arm. I don't think it's fun. Why y'all, this is not fun. I got a damn 2x4 in my back seat. You know, I think this some racial shit, too. That's what this is. Uh-huh. Little kids are running away from it.
Oh, my God.
did y'all find this funny?
Okay.
You're probably jacking off on the steering wheels, too, don't you?
All right. How long does it look like it's been sitting in there?
Steam is coming off of it, okay?
Steam is coming off of it?
Yes.
I can't believe it's been there that long then, huh?
I am taking... It's a fresh turd.
Okay. What you need to do is you need to bring that turd back, and we'll match it up. We got a lineup. We'll match it up with the other turds that we have.
Well, what you need to do is learn how to use a toilet.
So you're not going to bring the turd back to me?
No. I'm starting to like it.
You're going to keep it as a pet?
I'm going to keep it because it's a nice little, you know what? It's a nice conversation piece.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, man.
Oh, thank you, Bubba.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I don't feel like we're saving the morning today.
We're not. Wasn't that like the funniest thing ever?
Oh my God. Where are all these clips coming from?
Well, this one's from Crank Yankers. They used to have that show where they would do prank calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that obviously was one of the greatest hits.
Oh,
you know?
No. Wait, so it was the lady pranking the guys?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then they started going along with it.
We really should do some pranks.
I know, we should.
Like, we need to get a phone book right now and, like, go and just, like, randomly pick a page and just prank someone.
Yeah, well, the question is not who, but what are we going to say, you know? So we need to think about that. So there you go. You have some time.
I'm not very creative with things like that, though.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm good at, like, pulling it off. If someone comes off with, like, the script, I can totally keep a straight face and, like, do it.
Yeah.
I'm more of the talent, not, like, the person behind the talent.
Right.
Actually,
right.
Lane's a writer and a creative person. Maybe I could see if he can come up with something.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We'll put it out to all the listeners. If you have a good, funny idea to prank someone,
yes,
we'll
yes.
do it for you.
Send us an email or a Facebook or a message or something like that.
Yeah. You know what? Earlier when we started the show, we did a little funny commercial on Obama smoking.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until recently that he smokes.
What?
I think it's so fucking cool. I love him.
Shut up.
I love him now.
No way.
Yeah.
He smokes?
He smokes.
Cigarettes? I lost all respect for that man.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I gained all respect for the man.
Are you kidding?
No, let him do whatever he wants. What the hell, you know?
Well, we don't want to. I mean, that's a very high-stress job. You don't want someone who's smoking. You know, it's going to cause, like, heart disease and give, increase his risk of a heart attack, you know? Fuck it. We should have put McCain in office and, might as well have just put, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, not all smokers end up dying young. You know that? So,
I don't know. A lot of them do.
Yeah, well... I don't know if a lot of
them. Rachel Reyes throat cancer, and she didn't even smoke, I don't think.
Okay, so there you go. So it has nothing to do with smoking.
Never
you know?
Mind.
But no, I mean, I think it shows him as a human being, you know, as human and with all the...
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I just lost a lot of respect for him.
Why?
I don't know. You don't want your president... I don't know.
Look at you with your fucking addictions, and you go and you criticize somebody else.
Oh, you... Me criticize somebody else? You're the one that's like, oh, he can't fucking buy his wife a diamond ring. Like, God forbid. Let him buy her a fucking diamond, but smoke? Oh, my God. Me criticize?
I don't know. Your priorities are all fucked up.
No way. Wow. I wonder
what brand he smokes.
Sam.
It's so fucking cool.
No, it's... I remember when I was little, in my grandparents' attic, my Uncle Tom's room, he was up in the attic, he was adopted, but he had a sign in his door, the 70s, and it was like, smoking is very debonair.
Yeah.
And it had like this really like sexy couple, and like the smoke is like curling off their lips.
I know. It's amazing how they used to market it, you know?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I watched
the sexiest thing ever, and...
Yeah, we watched the movie An Inconvenient Truth in biology class with Al Gore, on like global warming and everything. And so there are a lot of like, you know, experts in like Bush's administration that are like, oh, you know, it's not really global warming. The polar ice caps aren't really melting. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of like, you know, things that are correlated but not really connected.
Yeah.
And then Al Gore like posted all these pictures of, you know, back in the day it was like, even doctors love smoking this brand.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, are we really going to believe what certain people say versus others?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which reminds me, when I saw, a few months ago, I saw The Exorcist again.
Oh, God.
And have you ever seen it?
Actually, you know what? That's funny you brought that up. Is that the one... Is there a scene where the... I don't know, the one that's going crazy, the girl.
Right, Linda Blair was the actress.
Is she kind of just like, you know, mentally retarded in the movie?
No, she's not. She's taken over by the devil.
Yeah, but is she like fed pea soup at one point?
No.
What movie was that?
Okay, let me tell you, you confused it. It did have pea soup there, but she would puke it. You know, that was her puke, was the green stuff.
Can I tell you why that's funny you brought that up?
Yeah.
Pea soup, I don't mind the taste of it, but I really can't stand looking at it.
Yeah,
it's pretty gross. And it's not just from that movie. Do we have a call?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let's
take a call. Good morning, you're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
I'm Seamus.
Hi, Seamus.
Seamus? Who's Seamus?
Seamus, who are you, Seamus?
Oh, come on. You can tell them all about me. You can probably do a better job than I would.
Seamus is Lane's roommate.
Ah. And Lane's your new boyfriend. So why is Seamus
calling? No labels.
Okay. So, well, what have you got to tell us? What do you know?
I know a lot about farting and cakes.
Okay, tell us something about farting.
He's the one that made me watch the cake fart video.
Oh, yeah?
The one you still haven't watched.
Yeah, so you fascinated with farts?
No, not at all.
No, not at all. You just go to those sites, and you just said you know everything about farting. So what do you know? What's a fascinating fact about farting?
It's just a video. You have to watch the video.
You really do have to watch the video, Sam. It's disgusting. You'll love it.
Yeah, I bet you have like an iPhone in there or internet.
Yes. He's got a computer right in front of
him. We've got everything, yeah. But I'm not going to watch it right now, but I will go there. That was called what, cakefarts.com?
Yes.
Yeah, cakefarts.com. Kind of put it in your Google browser. It doesn't come up right away. So.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. And there's another one called Pudding Farts.
So let me ask you this. So you've joined the circle that is Susie's friends now. And how do you feel about that? That's a big honor to know her.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast last night.
Yeah.
Seamus actually joined us for our biology party last night at the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, he did. Do you go to the class too?
No.
No. But you went to the study group because Susie was there probably.
I got a little invite from Lane.
So. Hey! I resent that. Or resemble that, I don't know which.
All right, so what did you see last night? What was going on there?
Just a bunch of crazy fucks having some margaritas. And
yeah. No, I mean between Susie and Lane.
Oh, geez, I don't know if I can talk about this.
You see, I know how to ask the right questions, man.
Did we keep you up late last night, Seamus?
Oh, till 3 in the morning.
Really? You heard everything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Your house has really thin walls. I do have to file a complaint with the management.
Yeah, but you realize you just... You exposed him to sexual abuse.
I was passed out.
Oh, you were passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I can't imagine. You knew there was something going on there. And you heard noises and shit. But you know, Susie, you were exposing him to the same thing we talked about and criticized yesterday.
I was in a closed bedroom.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
In privacy.
I know, but he had to hear the sounds.
No,
shit,
he didn't. You know? He could have put earplugs in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it was funny. I woke up this morning, and first thing I did was just go to Lane's room because he's going to give me a ride to my car this morning. And I saw this bottle of KY on his...
What, you were doing anal already, Susie?
No.
Why would
no
you have
comment.
KY?
No
Susie
comment.
Would not need KY. That was not Susie in that room.
Does that mean something happened with the rear?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Already into anal the first night? My God.
I am not commenting on any of this.
Is your oil check or something, Susie?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell
God.
Is that?
Where's
know?
Lane?
Lane is, I don't know.
Lane's at his communications final. He had a final this morning, too. I was like, oh, great, go to your final with no sleep.
Yeah. So what's that with the KY jelly there?
No comment. Okay. Seamus.
Okay, let's see. It's not used for oral sex, and no one's
my mouth
using
was very dry. I did have cotton mouth.
Yeah, but you wouldn't put the gel in your mouth. Okay, so it's not that.
From
it's
the blunt that we smoked,
it's
Seamus.
Definitely not. It's not straight sex intercourse because Susie gets plenty wet, I'm sure. So it leaves just one other orifice.
No, sometimes it doesn't even have to be an orifice. You could just like put it on your hand and make things like a slip and slide, and you just I don't know.
I see. Yes. Up and down the pole.
Up and down the pole. I see. Yes.
Okay. Okay, now we know. Wow. Now, I'm telling you that Seamus is going to go crazy by the time you guys are done because he's going to go, where did I go wrong that I didn't get someone like Susie?
No, actually, Seamus, I think Seamus has a crush on one of my twins.
Oh, really?
Yes. My friend Ariel, the one I've been trying... Sorry, I'm calling you out. But you called me out, so fuck you.
Yeah. Don't worry. You hang out with Susie, you'll get a lot of pussy. That's for sure.
I'm a good wing. I'm a good wing girl.
Yeah, she's got a lot of.
Need to go out to the bar this weekend then.
Actually, yeah. Do you want to come to my girlfriend Chase's birthday party? I invited Lane tomorrow too. But you're more than welcome to come if you want. There are going to be lots of hot girls there.
I've got work.
Yeah. Oh.
The hell with work. You see, I'd go if I could, but I mean, you get. Okay, that's what I don't understand. I mean, this guy is given an option now to pick up probably easy ass, okay?
Excuse me, my friends are not easy.
And he wants to work, okay.
What? Okay, it's Chase's birthday party. You
right.
know Chase.
Yes.
You see, how easy do you think Chase is?
Chase is very uptight. But no, maybe you're friends and shit, you know? Who knows? You think they're all like that?
Well, I know. No, they're all different.
Yeah. You see, so Seamus, you get my permission. Don't go to work. Go to the party instead. And you see, then you'll have stories to tell as well.
Oh, I'll have stories to tell in due time, sir.
Yeah,
sir. You called Sam, sir.
Yeah.
my little pet peeve though with Ariel, the whole thing was, you know, when go to a bar or whatnot, you start talking to an older woman and. You know, it's just a conversation killer when they ask me my age.
Why, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Oh, and that's not young enough for them?
No, it's too young. I mean, I'm the same way. Yeah. I mean, when I was on eHarmony, you know, I would get all these listings, and I would put like a certain age limit, you know, that I, you know, that I wanted to date.
Right.
And then if I would get someone that was like younger than my age limit, I wouldn't even like look at the picture. I wouldn't do anything. I would instantly close the match if they were younger than me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but he was talking about women that look for younger men, no?
Well, no, Ariel's my age. She's a year older than me.
Okay.
You know, and then like I'm seeing like Lane, you know, and he's a lot younger than I am.
Right.
And I wouldn't have gone out with him on the first date if I had known how old he was.
Oh, really?
I would have actually said no. It wasn't until we were actually out on the date, and I was like, you're like 26, 27, right? And he's like, I'm 22.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Seamus, okay? You're at a perfect age where you can get 18, 19-year-old pussy. Why would you want older one? I mean, you're going to get to a certain point in your life where you'll die for that kind of pussy, and you won't have it, you know? When you're 48 years old, you don't get 19-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting point, Seamus. What's your reaction?
Solid. But you know, it's not my thing.
Yeah, enjoy your thing, man. Enjoy.
He likes a woman that knows what to do with him.
Okay, well, you know.
I mean, it's one thing when you have like the 18, 19-year-old girl, but I mean, at some time, like I don't know,
so
unless
find
they're
a porn star
unless they're
19.
Yeah, but you don't want a slut. You want someone that's like nicely seasoned.
Okay.
That just knows how to
well,
like handle
okay.
you.
Well, that's okay. He can find an inexperienced one, and they can explore together. You know. Plus, many chicks. I mean, they've had sex since they were 16. I mean,
but that doesn't mean it's good sex.
No, it's not. But you know, if you're active, you're gonna
like I've had a lot of sex, but I have not had a lot of good sex.
I'm looking for good sex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't take a number? Get in line, man. Yeah. All right, Seamus, man. You're fun. Come into the studio sometime when you can talk Lane into coming in, too. And we'll hear
oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I'll see what kind of work I can put in on that one, all right?
Yeah.
No,
you
don't. Don't you dare put any work in on that. I'm keeping him safe from
the
studio.
You'll put him to work.
I put him to work. Don't worry.
What do you do for a living, Seamus?
What do? Not much, really.
Really? Cool. That's the way
he
to
works
do it,
at the
man.
Father's office.
Nobody fucking works in LA, I'm
he works
you.
At the father's office.
At the father's office?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's
cool.
An amazing bar that has like wine and beer.
Oh, I thought you meant at his father's office.
No,
that's
at
what
the,
I didn't
the
know.
Father's
the
office.
The father's office. Okay, it's the name of a bar.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Tell them we want to get sponsors for that.
Yeah, get them to sponsor us. Tell them for dirty language, this is a place. Anyway, man, take care, Seamus, and thanks for calling. And, yes. Try to take care of Susie there.
Oh, I will. Okay. She's a little sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, until you get to know her.
Fuck you, Sam. Seamus has seen my true colors already.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay, all right, have a good one.
Bye, Seamus.
He called me sir. I feel so fucking old now.
It's a term of respect.
Yeah, I suppose.
You should be like, damn right your friends are calling me sir. What's my name? What's my name? It's a term of respect. I kind of like it when guys call other people like sir.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
You're weird that way.
It's just, I don't know. It's very polite.
Yeah. So where are you going Friday? You said
he was the one that had the Black Widow spider.
Oh,
he was the one that was telling the story last night about the Black Widow spider, and I was like,
yeah, that's what they call me.
That's what they call me. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, all I can say is this guy doesn't know what he got himself into.
He does. He actually, Seamus had listened to the radio show before
not
he'd
Seamus,
ever.
But Lane.
I know, but yeah. Seamus had listened to the radio show before he'd ever met me.
Really?
Because Lane was like, oh, like this chick has a radio show. Check it out.
Uh-huh.
So Lane was already promoting the show before I even knew he liked me.
Mm.
See?
I thought there was a continue.
No, I don't know.
Okay, that's it. Right?
My thoughts aren't very complete today. My head's kind of in the clouds.
Yeah, so you didn't get any sleep, huh?
No, not really. A little, maybe like 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a party, and then you had another private party.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Okay.
But the biology party was super fun. I wanted to wash like all of my bed linens, like all of my fluffy comforters and all my down feather things. And you can only do that in like giant industrial-sized washers.
Right.
And so I did it last night while I was at the Mexican restaurant. I went and, like, switched loads while I was there. And then we were doing, like, body shots of tequila with our Brazilian professor.
Uh-huh.
And I forbid him to bring his wife. He's like, oh, after the test, he's like, I'm going to go pick up my wife. And I was like, no, no wife's allowed. And he's like, what? I was like, come on, that'll ruin all the fun. Like, we won't be able to be ourselves.
Yeah, that's
totally
exactly
would ruin
what
it.
Wives do.
I know.
You take out all the fun out of it.
Oh, God. I don't think she's going to like your maniacal laugh to my comment about wives.
No.
Oh,
I know.
Goodness.
She's never going to get used to this show.
Oh, Sam.
So you don't think that it's cool that Obama smokes?
No.
Okay.
I want to go back to The Exorcist really quickly.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay, so about The Exorcist. So my sister, my handicapped sister, mm-hmm. I just have like this vision of my childhood, and this is super disgusting. So like, shoot me anytime. It's too disgusting.
Uh-huh.
Like my mom would feed her like split pea soup because like it was easier to feed her like mushy things,
uh-huh.
and she would drool the split pea soup down her face.
Uh-huh.
My mom would take the spoon and like scrape it off her chin and like refeed it to her.
Yeah.
And I was always just like, oh, oh my God! I'm like, I just want to fucking vomit all over like everything right now. That is so disgusting. But so anyway, I got over my childhood of this, and I never eat pea soup anymore. But so yesterday, I wake up, and I get home from the radio station, and Lisa had left split pea soup on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, it's my turn to kind of clean up the kitchen, and so she was gone. And so I, like, take the pot of the split pea soup, and I'm like, oh. We don't have a disposal in our kitchen sink. It's, like, all marble.
Uh-huh.
And so I take the pot, and I, like, fill it with water, and the split pea soup is bubbling over, and then I empty it, and all, like, the schmeggy chunks of it are just kind of, the green are dispersing over the white marble counter in just, like, big clumps.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, my God, it was so putrid. I didn't even know what to do. I just had visions of The Exorcist, A.
Yeah.
And then B, of, like, my sister and my mom, and I'm just like, oh, God damn. I finally just left the split pea soup schmeg in the fucking sink. And I, like, ran out the door to school. I'm like, I got to go to class. Can't handle it. But go ahead. So you watched The Exorcist.
No, that was a powerful movie. In fact, ooh. I remember when it was coming out, I went and got the book first. And I had to...
Is that by Stephen King?
No. That's Peter... No, not Peter Benchley. I don't know. I'll think of it.
Okay.
We'll look up on Amazon.com or something. But... So I remember reading the book, and I was like 13, 14 years old, you know, and that's considered one of the scariest movies of all times, you know. So I'm surprised that I was actually able to enjoy it, you know.
Really?
And so I saw it the other day, or a couple months ago, and you know what occurred to me is that the doctor comes out of his office
mm-hmm.
and lights up a cigarette right inside the hospital.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, that's the way they used to do it.
Wow.
It used to be like that.
I know.
People would smoke everywhere. You know, the president would sit there with a cigarette. And, I mean, it was so acceptable.
When I first started bartending at my Redneck Biker Bar in upstate New York, you know, it was absolutely just, you walk into a bar, and I mean, there is just, like, smoke everywhere.
Yeah, like a fucking cloud, yes.
Like a huge fucking cloud. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't even know. I would work 6 at night until 6 in the morning, and I was, like, smoking behind the bar, like, smoking with all, the patrons and everything. And I remember, like, the day that the smoking ban happened in New York, mm-hmm. and no one was allowed to smoke in the bar now.
Right.
And when once all the smoke finally cleared, the walls that had once been white were just yellow with nicotine.
Wow.
Like, it was disgusting. It was so disgusting. You're just like, oh, God, I want the cloud of smoke back again. I don't want to see that shit. Like, is that what everyone's lungs look like? Ew.
Wow.
But,
a lot worse than that.
But yeah. Now, I mean, you walk into a bar and you can't even imagine people smoking in it.
I know. It's so weird.
I know, it's so
fucking
weird.
Or smoking indoors at all, you know? I never liked it anyway, smoking indoors.
I used to smoke in my apartments all the time.
Really?
All the time.
Yeah, if I did, I mean, all the windows would be open and everything. But
I would always have the windows open and good ventilation, but...
Yeah, you'd never catch me dead smoking inside, indoors, especially in my house or my car, you know? I don't smoke, only outside. That's why I fucking sit outside all day. Do all my work on the balcony.
Oh, God.
And watch all these hot chicks walk into those restaurants on Ventura Boulevard and stuff.
Sam.
I'm telling you, it's a fucking parade every day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, hot chicks.
Hot chicks everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
you want
man.
To take another quick break?
Sure.
Okay, let's take another one. We'll be back right after this.
Do you need to lower expectations for you and your loved ones? Then you need the all-new DVD, Barack Obama's It's Going to Get Worse Before It Gets Better.
Hello, I'm Barack Obama. And with my DVD, I'll show you how to prevent the demands of change by lowering the bar of hope.
Barack Obama's It's Going to Get Worse Before It Gets Better DVD can help you around the house.
The garage is going to get messier before it gets cleaner.
Your wife in the kitchen.
Honey, my cooking is going to taste worse before it gets better.
Give your boss this incredible DVD and see the difference it makes at work.
Johnson, you're going to get fired before I give you that raise.
Order your copy of Barack Obama's It's Going to Get Worse Before It Gets Better today.
And hurry, because my DVD is going to get a lot more expensive before it gets cheaper.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
George Takei here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and Rad are the confines the FCC placed on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Indeed, it's better.
Nothing's better.
No? I guess you take issue with that one.
I do. So I just asked you during the break, I feel like such a dork because for years, I attract a lot of like artsy-fartsy, you know, creative types as my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I've had tons of them that have been like, you don't understand what a big like geek I am. And I'm like, what, all right, how big of a geek are you? And they're like, I play D&D. I'm like, what's that? And they're always like, Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking...
And that's creative for you, though?
Well, I was thinking up until like 4 o'clock this morning when I found out it's not like a video game. Well, it is, but for the most part, when people say they play D&D, they're not talking about the video game.
Right.
I thought it was a video game, like up until this morning.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. What is your experience with it, or why do you even know about it?
I never experienced it at all. I know about it because it's culture. You know, it was very popular in the 70s and 80s, I think.
It's amazing it's still around then.
Yeah, but it's perfect. I mean, now they have it on video games as well, you know, so you can play all this shit. But you really have to be nerdy to play that, you know? I mean, because you're like all into it, you know, you get a character and shit and all these potions and... I don't know how people get into that stuff, you know.
It sounds really fun, fantasy. Just like a big, like, I don't know, like a big fantasy. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you need a lot of time for this shit.
I know, like, Lane was telling me that, like, people, like, dedicate, like, hours of their life to it.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Like, they meet late night, and they go, like, all night, and they've got, like, their camping gear, and they go on, like, these missions or voyages or journeys or whatever they're called.
Yeah. You can't have a life and play that.
It sounds really fun. I was like, well, so are there any girls that played this? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, like, how did you play? And, like, teams of five, he's like, they were really unattractive. I was like, I bet they all had crushes on you. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's some chicks into video games, too, and stuff, you know.
I know. One or two.
Yeah.
I like Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and Tetris. I'm very, very old-fashioned.
Yeah. You are. Yeah, those are old games.
I remember, I think it was, like, I don't know, 87 or something when I got my Nintendo for Christmas. And
really?
It was like my sister was so jealous, and I was like, you can't play.
No, I like Call of Duty and, you know, World at War and all this shit. I love to be a soldier and kill people.
What was that other thing you were just telling me about? Second Life?
Second Life, yeah. That's a, I think it's a website. It's a game. I don't know exactly how it goes, but I mean, this is like huge. And it's been featured in many magazines and stuff. And supposedly.
Yes.
I lost my train of
second
thought.
Second thought, supposedly.
Second life. I mean, second life, right?
What do people
you
do,
said
supposedly?
Second thought.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, you take on a character and you live a life. I mean, you know, you get married, you have a family and all this shit. And they have that in The Sims also. Have you heard of The Sims?
I've heard of The Sims, but that always seems stupid to me.
Yeah, it is pretty stupid. But you know what? It's pretty cool because you sort of like get to control everything. You get to control people's lives, you know, and stuff. So.
My only experience with The Sims was when I was a security holdover in the military. And like, you know, it seemed like people were just like building a dollhouse for themselves on the internet.
That's
not on the internet, on the computer game.
Yeah.
No, not computer game, whatever it's called.
It is a computer game.
Was it a computer game?
It is.
But it just seemed kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, it is.
And
you know,
not very interactive, and I didn't really see many people, like, I don't know, it just didn't seem very social.
It's hugely successful.
But really. So I want to hear more about Second Life. So people
So Second Life. So
do
you
interact
you can go,
with other people?
You interact with other people in the game, and you can buy things, you know, you can earn money, you go to work, all that shit, you know, it's just like real life.
Whoa. But can you create
virtual.
What you look like?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and,
pretty crazy.
Yeah. Who knows how many guys pose as girls in that game? Guys tend to do that. I don't know why.
That is pretty weird.
Yeah, I know. So what happens? You attract other guys, you know?
Yeah, good point.
There's no point in that.
Well, maybe that's what they want in their real life, and they're too like ashamed, or their religion or their family won't let them do that, so they do it in their second life.
Maybe.
You never know, right?
Yeah. In chat rooms, the same way, you know? Guys poses girls and shit.
I never think of guys just posing as like a lot younger to like pick up younger chicks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. Well, what if they want older chicks? Then they would come across as older. It seems to me Seamus can't wait until he's older.
No, I mean, like, he has a lot of, like, 40-year-old women that apparently hit on him.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Like, yesterday, Lane had to go and pick him up after our bio final, and he's like, I'm bringing a date. And I was like, I thought I was your date. And he's like, I'm bringing Seamus. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And I was like, well, where is he? And he's like, he's at a flower party. And I was like, what the fuck is a flower party? And it was just a party that, I don't know, one of the older women that liked him, she owns a flower shop, and she, like, made him come to it. I could see, like, I don't know, a lot of, like, really older women liking, like, when they're, like, past 40, you know, maybe divorced, you know, maybe never kind of settled into a family life, or maybe they have and they, you know, their family grew up.
Yeah.
Wanting, like, a younger man because, you know, younger men don't really want a lot of commitment and stuff.
Not only that, but I think it makes the woman feel younger, you know? And I think a lot of women are, like, you know, constantly in search of youth, you know?
And boy, do they have stamina.
Yeah. Yeah, but not a lot of experience, you know?
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, you just wait. You know, you think you find a fucking pot of gold every time.
No, I'm telling you,
it's going to get better. You watch. I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, you still have a whole life ahead of you. You know, you've had sex for less than 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you just wait, you know. But enjoy what you find. I mean, that's the part of the journey is discovering new stuff all the time.
Less than 8 years, actually.
Less than 8 years.
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm already this dirty. What the fuck happened to me? Where did I come from?
Deep inside all along.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you ever play doctor with the boys?
You know what? I was always, like, one of the boys. They never, like, considered me, like, one of the girls when I was growing up.
Oh, really?
I was always having, like, spitting contests with them and, like, rolling around in the dirt and, like, building forts and, I don't know, just kind of, like,
but when they're curious to look at your vagina and shit?
No, you know what?
Boys are so curious.
Actually, someone brought this up yesterday. We were outside after the bio final, and this kid was like, dude, my second grade teacher, like, you know, friended me on Facebook. And I was like, my fucking second grade teacher, Mrs. Miseraca, that bitch. Basically, there was a boy that sat next to me at my little round table, and I'm in my Catholic schoolgirl skirt. He kept sticking his hand up my skirt.
Wow.
And he would touch my vagina.
Really?
In second grade. And he would just, like, make... I was petrified. I could not move.
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, sitting there just with his hand, like, in my underwear, just, like, feeling my vagina.
Uh-huh.
I've got, like, my day of the week underwear on. It's Tuesday, and I'm wearing Saturday underwear. You know? And so, for, like, I don't know, for, like, a month or so, like, this went on, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I would just get so embarrassed and ashamed, and, you know, like, seriously, I would just freeze.
Uh-huh.
And so one day I went up, and I told the teacher, I was like, Mrs. Miseraca, you know, Brandon keeps putting his hand up my schoolgirl skirt and, like, touching me, and I'm really not comfortable with it. Oh, Susie, stop lying. Like, he would never do that.
Really?
Yeah, she totally accused me of lying about it. And then I was like, well, can I at least switch tables and sit somewhere else? She wouldn't even let me switch tables.
Yeah.
She made me sit next to the fucking creep.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Some people should not teach. I say it all the time, you know?
I know.
Yeah. But I remember when my son was in kindergarten or first grade, we found out that, he came from school one day and he says, I kissed this girl's vagina.
Shut up.
Yeah, he pulled down her pants. You know, I mean, not forcefully or anything, you know. Just like I used to play doctor with the girls. They just go along, you know. So he pulled down her pants and he kissed her vagina. And
oh,
I'm going, there goes my boy.
Sam.
I loved it, man.
Oh, my. You can't. No.
Why?
You can't say, there goes my boy. Did you discipline him and say no?
I used to do the same thing. But, you know, I mean, I used to get him naked and play with him all the time.
Your when son?
Not with my son, with the girls in the neighborhood. Fuck you.
I was going to say, that's the way like you segued into it, that sounded awful.
Okay, yeah. But no, I mean, you know, I used to play doctor when I was very young. And so that's why, you know, I figured, you know, he couldn't wait either, you know.
Oh, man.
You see, that's what I'm saying. I think you're born that way, you know. That's why, even though you started kind of late having sex, but you had it in you all along, I'm
sure.
Well,
speaking of family and, like, sex and playing doctor and stuff, I remember one summer, I think I was, like, 12 or, I don't know, I went to be a mother's helper to my aunt,
mm-hmm.
who lived in Michigan or Georgia, wherever she was at the time. But my little cousin, Sarah, was, like, 5 or 6, and I caught her. I totally walked in on her. Like, totally, like, with the girl next door, like, she had, like, stripped her down. It was, like, hardcore playing doctor with this
really?
Chick. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, Sarah, absolutely. I was like, I'm not going to tell your mother. I was like, put your fucking clothes on. I was like, little girl, you go home.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, Jesus.
Excuse me. We got a phone call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hello, Susie. This is Brandon.
Brandon who?
Oh, my God. This is really scary. Who is this?
Who's
this
Brandon?
Is Brandon. Miss your pussy.
Brandon, I don't know you, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm the guy that used to touch your vagina in second grade.
Oh my God, this is not funny. Who is this?
I found you on the internet. You can find anybody on the internet.
Who is this, Sam? Do you know who this is?
He breathes really heavy, doesn't he?
You're a heavy breather.
This is a man of a thought.
This sounds like
a... You've turned me into a homo. I don't like women anymore because you lied to the second grade teacher. I touched your vagina.
Who is this?
You don't know who that
is? No.
The man of a thousand voices.
It's me, Greg.
It's
Greg.
It's Mr. Greg Rempe.
Oh my God!
You can't give me a nugget like that and just catch me at home for 10 minutes and not expect me to bear that.
It sounded like you had like a voice changer on.
Yeah, but you really believed it was this guy, huh? Because I guess at this point, Susie feels everybody's tracking her down now.
I don't know. The walls are closing in on me. I moved to California to get away from everything. Oh no!
Greg, what's going on, man?
Nothing. I was just switching out a few things here at home to go make some more client calls, so I punched you guys up, and then I heard Susie telling it. It disturbed me in the fact that I have a daughter that's in second grade right now.
Ah.
So, you know, for the majority of the time, she's wearing one of those jumpers.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what I was wearing.
But my daughter would come home and tell me that somebody did that, and then I could go kill the
woman. Well, you think so.
Yeah. But that's the thing. But you got to remember something, Greg. They're the same age. You know, you can't fault them. I mean, kids just do that. You know, and because I remember, I mean,
but when you're a girl, like, you don't, like, at that point, I wasn't like masturbating or touching myself, you know, right. What I mean? I still was just very, very unsexual. And so I had no idea, like, and yeah. I hadn't like had a conversation with my parents with them being like, okay, if anyone touches you, it's inappropriate.
Right. No, I mean, but that's okay that you didn't feel comfortable because you felt what came naturally. But what I'm saying is the boy doesn't know any better, you know, you're very little, you know. So
I don't know. I think he knew what he was doing was wrong.
Okay, well, in that case, yeah.
He was trying to, you know, get his game going to pick up on the sixth graders.
Probably. But, you know, for the most part, Greg, when they're the same age and they play like this, it's normal, you know, it's natural.
I didn't want to play. I was not a willing
participant. No, you didn't want to. That's what I'm saying. But, you know.
That was day of the week underwear rape.
Yeah, I must have been a good doctor when I was a kid because they didn't complain.
I was going to say, there's your difference right there. Susie felt uncomfortable about it, so it was wrong. But if, you know, if she didn't, then everything would be okay. She wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't have said anything.
Exactly.
She just would have sat back and told them to go a little faster.
Yeah.
Faster, harder. Oh, yeah. Oh, Brandon. Did you really have a voice changer on? Did you really just like make up that voice?
Oh, this was my real voice. I just did it like this.
No, Greg is awesome. I mean, for you to do George Takei and Borat in the same breath is pretty good, man.
Do George Takei. Yeah.
Yes, this is George Takei here. How are you?
Greg, do a voice you haven't done before. I mean...
Greg, do me.
Do me. His voice is way too low for that.
I don't know. I think he's got some range.
Yeah.
It's tough to do women.
Yeah. Who do you do very well?
I just want to hear what he would say if he were impersonating me.
Oh, okay. So just pretend you're...
I get finger fucked in the second grade and I loved it!
That is not what I said.
It's just my interpretation.
Yeah, that's how you do
it. Comedic genius.
Okay.
I don't really have a lot of great voices.
Do you?
I do the Harry Carey, I do George Takei.
Right. What about Arnold Schwarzenegger? Do you do Arnold?
No, he's tough. I can't do that one.
Yeah. It seems like everybody can.
Just disguising the voice or throwing it.
Right.
You know, or the gay, you know, just a generic gay guy type thing. So.
Now, I want to know about the gay voice. I mean, like a lot of guys that I know, you know, I think they're gay, but like they don't have the gay voice yet. But as soon as they come out of the closet, like in my experience, all of a sudden the voice comes out.
Right.
Where does this voice come from?
I don't know. I think if I was gay, I'd sound exactly the same.
Yeah,
I don't think all of a sudden I would be a flamboyant.
Oh, yes, baby. I like it in the ass.
I just think they don't want to seem manly, you know. They want to sound a little feminine. So they bring, you know, they raise their voice a little bit, make it a little higher. And because it seems like, I mean, it's like some people, they totally talk like that and they claim they're not gay. There's no way. There's no way that a straight man talks like that.
I know.
So,
but maybe it's all the hormones we're putting in our water. And that they're, you know, maybe slowly, like, they're developing eggs in their testes. Like I read in the article yesterday.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm telling you, I don't suck cock and I hate the anus. But 2 weeks later, they're out of the closet.
Oh, God.
How did you ever know?
I had a girlfriend who was dating a guy, and we all knew he was gay, and, like, she was just in denial about it. And then mid-fuck, he, like, burst into tears, and she's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he's like, I'm gay. Mid-fuck. Can you imagine? Mid-fuck, and then the next day, he rescinds his gayness.
Really?
You can't take it back.
No.
I mean, you can't come out of the closet to your girlfriend, like, mid-fuck and burst into tears when everyone else knew it, and then, like, take it back.
Yeah.
And yeah. then still have
a free card only like one time. You can only use that once on that lady.
Yeah. Then you got to move on to another lady. But like you wouldn't think he would be able to get it up. But I guess he did like fucking her in the ass with his eyes closed.
Oh. Ooh. Plus sex is sex, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Me.
Oh no.
So I just
had your eyes closed and a man went down on you and sucked you off and you came, as long as you didn't see it, it wasn't gay.
No. That's not what I'm trying to say. Let me try and explain.
I think that's exactly what you said.
Okay, fuck it.
No, you need to make that the best of Sam and
I
Susie.
Love women. No, I'm telling you, sometimes I envy bisexuals because they get to have both the best of both worlds, you know? I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would like it, but I'm saying if I was bi or something and I could accept it and enjoy it, it would be great.
I think you need something in your ass, Sam.
I do?
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Nobody comes near my ass, even myself, okay?
I know. What about, like, just a pinky?
Fuck that. No fucking way. You don't even look at my fucking ass.
Everybody loves a little pinky in the ass.
You're telling me that when a lady back, even in all your sexual exploits, that when a girl was sucking you off, she never rammed a finger in your a-hole right when you were going to come?
Never. I wouldn't allow it. I would lose my erection,
like,
if she did.
So sexually free that you seem a little uptight about it.
No, I know, but
he's really not sexually free. Yeah, he only has sex missionary position.
I mean, we've already established on the show that with my old age, I've gotten pretty inhibited in
geriatric
when it comes to sex. Yeah,
I mean, why not?
No, I mean, I still love, like, oral sex and stuff, you know, and regular sex, you know, but I'm not into all the toys and shit, you know, all the role playing and all that stuff, you know.
Mm-mm-mm.
And no assholes for me, thanks.
I want to go have sex right now.
Yeah, okay, go.
I'm not a fan of oral sex. I don't like oral sex.
You don't like giving it or receiving it?
I don't like receiving it.
Really?
I know, I'm not crazy about that either.
It's not that I don't like it, but if you were asking me to choose, like, some guys always want a blowjob.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd rather just have the straight fucking.
I know. I'm the same way. Or let me eat pussy, you know? That's fine.
I don't mind giving it, but yeah. I could do without it, you know, getting it.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way.
See, I like the variation. I like to, like, mix it up and just have, like, a long sesh and, like, you know what I mean? It's just like...
I don't know. It's still nice, you know, but...
And as I was telling you yesterday, like, after, like, you know, a guy's been fucking you, like, I don't know, like, sucking his dick afterwards, and then, like, it just smells like fucking pussy, and you're like, yeah. But you're still kissing like a manly man. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Greg is dumbfounded. He has nothing to
say. Greg?
Yes?
Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Greg is your biggest fan. Are you kidding?
Keep going.
Yeah. But, Greg, we got to let you go because the time is up.
Should I stick a pinky in?
Don't forget, tune in tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific for the show.
Yes. Barbecue Central with Greg. Very popular show, Greg. Very popular. And I'm amazed at that. And I sometimes go back to the archives, and I wish I barbecued a little more, you know. But you know what? I want Greg to come down here, do a show from here, barbecue for everybody.
That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send you a ticket because I don't think you're ever going to come down. So
I know. That would be so much fun.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, Greg is one of the first people here. He's the foundation of the station, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
He just seems super cool. I love you, Greg.
Yeah, he's the best guy ever. Greg, thanks so much, my friend. And we'll be tuned in tonight. And,
or should I call you Brandon?
Call me Brandon.
Brandon.
China again. Just for old time's sake.
With my day of the week underwear. Oh.
All right, guys.
Bye, Greg.
Bye.
Greg Rempe. From Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, he's funny.
Yeah.
I was like, who is that? Because it sounded like it could have been a couple of different people I know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, man.
I know.
Oh,
you,
man.
You totally fell for this, and I was getting concerned that you...
I'm telling you, with Facebook and, like, all the things that I post, I don't know, like, who knows, like, what I'm doing and how to track me down.
Well, the whole
days.
Fucking world now knows with your radio show.
Oh, fuck, I know.
Yeah. But you do have a lot of fans, and that's cool.
Speaking of radio shows, and my sister was visiting. Well, then we'll hurry it up in a second. But speaking of radio shows, my sister was visiting my very conservative Catholic family in Baltimore, where my uncle has like this amazing house. So all the family went out to go see him over the weekend, and all they wanted to know is, "Oh, Susie, we hear Susie's doing a radio show. Oh, tell us about Susie. Oh, Susie's doing a radio show." Uh-huh. My sister fucking gave my godfather. My godfather, my grandmother's brother, my business card for here, and he kept it. So now I'm just like, oh, great. Yeah. You know, now my conservative Catholic family, like, has, like, direct access and a link. We might have to change the link from LA Talk Radio to, like, LA Talk Radio / something.
You know what? Let's disguise you. You know, we'll put a mask on your face, and we'll change the spelling of your name. They won't know it's you.
No, because my godfather, he owns a luggage company, and he has constantly been giving me monogrammed. Not even monogram, but like, you know, monogram, but it always says Susie.
Right.
Every fucking birthday for my entire life, I have gotten something monogrammed with a different spelling of my name. I'm telling you, S-U-Z-I, S-U-S-I-E, S-U-S-Y, S-U, like, it never, ever S-U-Z-Y.
Wow. That's funny.
I'm like, thanks, Uncle Andy, just go for the initials.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put a beekeeper's mask on you or something.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, Susie, we've had a great day. Yes, we're going to go and enjoy this beautiful, beautiful day out there. And all of you do the same, and we'll be back right here with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.